James chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you, and it's great to be here in this place. And I look at that video that we had, and you think, why come to church if that's what you're going to do? But here is the presence of God. You can almost touch it. You can almost feel it. This is the place where we encounter the living Christ. This is the place where the Spirit moves among us. And it's such a joy to be here, even though there's only six of us in the room. It's one of those things about holy space that you might have at home, where you go and have your quiet time or you go and pray regularly. It's your place to be with God. Well, for us, it's here. So that's why I'm looking forward to you joining us here when you can. Now, we've been looking at faith in the pressure cooker, where small decisions make a big difference, where a few words can change the atmosphere in a conversation. How you react to difficulty shapes you, who you become, and the lives of those around you. And today, we come to things about wisdom. Wisdom matters. So I've got a little game for you now. This is one you can join in at home. I want you to say what these things have in common. And this is all to do with wisdom, so have a look. What have the following got in common? Lemons, bananas, mangoes, and onions. So discuss amongst yourselves, what have those things got in common? Okay, now while you're playing that game, okay, I'm going to add some other things. They've all got something in common. Cotton balls soaked in violet oil. What have those lot got in common? All of them together. How about a Greek hand cream? Now, what have they got in common? And for you chemists, colloidal silver solution. If you don't know what it is, it won't help you. How about this one? A herbal drink from Sri Lanka. What have they all got in common? I've got more. Sap from the macabuhe plants added to the list. Ice cream and frozen foods is your next one. How about camel urine? The next one, a herbal drink from Madagascar. Do you know what they've got in common yet? Have you worked it out? How about cow urine? That one comes from India. Okay, I'll give you the final one and maybe you'll get the answer. A mixture of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. Have you got it yet? They are all proclaimed cures for COVID-19. All of them. If you go on the internet, that's what you will find in various places. Camel urine is from the Middle East. The sap from the plants is from the Philippines. Cow urine is from India. But all of them have been put forward on the internet as cures for COVID-19. The source of your wisdom matters. Your wisdom dictates your behavior, your attitudes, and your values. It really does matter where you get it from. Now, if you look up what is wisdom,
wisdom is
a wonderful thing.
Okay. It's
mentioned 222 times in the Old Testament alone. And we are urged to get it. Wisdom, my definition here, is the application of knowledge. Knowledge is knowing tomatoes are a fruit. Wisdom is not putting tomatoes in a fruit salad. Knowledge is knowing that bananas are a herb. Wisdom is putting bananas in a fruit salad. Wisdom is about people. We all know the story that Solomon had. Two women were fighting over a child, and Solomon said, "Cut it in half." A true mother offered the child to the other one. He tapped into the heart and soul and came up with a way to settle the dispute. There's a Jewish update to that story, by the way. Two young women who wanted to get married, and the parents sent to the next village for husbands, and there were two available. They were dispatched, but on the way, one of them decided he wasn't ready to get married, so he went home. When the one arrived, the mothers each wanted him to marry their daughter. They took the decision to the village elders, who repeated the advice of Solomon, and they said, "Cut him in half." To which one woman said, "No, don't do that." But the other one said, "Yes, do it. His heart, his liver, his spleen, his intestines, everything." And the elders replied, "Give him to the second one, for she shows the true heart of a mother-in-law." How about a bit of wisdom over children fighting over a piece of cake? The parents come to the rule, one divides, the other chooses. And if you fight over that, you don't get it. And if you don't cut it, you don't get it. Let them sort it out. The one I heard was two women were in a bus fighting over the last seat available, and the conductor had tried to intervene, but to no avail. So the driver shouted, "Let the ugly one sit down." Both women remained standing for the rest of the journey. Some people don't have a lot of wisdom. Like the couple who went on a holiday with a very low budget airline, and the captain announced halfway that they were going to drop them off at another airport 600 miles away in another country. And when another passenger leaned over and said, "Will they provide accommodation and transport to our final destination?" they replied, "Well, they didn't last year." So, wisdom, doing something with the information you have. The Talmud, which is a sort of commentary by rabbis, says a wise person is one who can see the future. If you do that, then these are the foreseeable consequences. Parents, if you are too strict, I can see where it's going to go with you and your children. parents, if you're not strict enough. I can see where that's going with your children. Children, if you don't take responsibility for your actions, I can see where you'll end up. And you won't like yourself or anyone else. Husbands, if you don't communicate with your wives on an emotional level that they are loved and needed and wanted and special, the marriage will not blossom and may even fail. And if you live in fear of what you imagine might happen, you will never do anything because you have a big imagination. These are the kind of wisdom things. You can see the future, and therefore things need to be reined in. James tells us there are two sources of wisdom. One turns you into a lovely human being, a peacemaker, bringing righteousness to the world, a merciful person, bringing compassion to others, an impartial person who does the right and the best thing, not something to impress others, a considerate person rather than a selfish one, the kind of person that you would like to be seen as. I think that's why Proverbs tells us that the fear or the respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The other doesn't. It's all about yourself. You expressing yourself. You doing what you want, when you want, how you want. You without responsibilities or boundaries or consequences. You centered on what you haven't got. The kind of person the advertisers say would be happy if only you bought this product. Companies are not concerned about you. They just want your money. To get it, they sell you a product. And to get you to buy it, they go to advertisers. And advertisers create a desire in you. And to create that desire in you, they make you unhappy with what you have. They create misery in you. So your source of wisdom matters. Do you want heavenly wisdom, or do you want other kinds of wisdom? If you want heavenly wisdom, then you've got to say, well, God's wisdom is different. First, that's what James says, first, it's pure. What we mean by pure is it's not contaminated. It's free from defilement. It doesn't have ulterior motives. It doesn't have a hidden agenda, as sometimes we do. It doesn't manipulate people with promises or threats. It's uncontaminated because it wants the very best for you and from you. The wisdom shown by others often appears to be for you, when really it's ticking its own boxes. They advise against something because it will cost them time or money. Like when your mum says, you don't want to do hand painting, do you? Or you don't want the paddling pool out, do you? Because she knows it's going to take time to get it out, fill it, and then put it away afterwards. And therefore, she starts directing from an ulterior motive. God doesn't do that. So first of all, it's pure. Then it follows the lines of justice, mercy, and grace. It's peaceable, he says. It embraces the active presence of God, the shalom, that kind of peace. It doesn't say peace and quiet at any price or anything for a quiet life. It doesn't take a back seat for an easy life. The wisdom of God leads you to enjoy the active presence of God like we have here today. But not only is this wisdom peaceable, it's forbearing. It allows others to make mistakes and come back. It doesn't have to control everything. And it's compliant. It doesn't have to stick to its own methods of getting there. And it's merciful. It doesn't demand certain levels of justice or behavior. It doesn't punish as much as people deserve. And it produces good fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit, but more. Love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Yes, we know. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yes, we know. But helpfulness, benevolence, graciousness, good works. Those are good fruits. And then the last two that James says, it is without uncertainty. Literally, without two criteria. It doesn't dither because it isn't split with ulterior motives. And it is without hypocrisy, literally without two faces. That's what we mean by pure. And this is God's wisdom. And God's wisdom is available to you and to me. But God's wisdom comes at a price. James tells you what you must do to get it. Ask, he says, because you can't buy it. And then he says it's free, but there is a price to pay, just like the cross. He says, if you want this kind of wisdom, submit. You can't take it by force. Flee from evil, because you can't mix it with any other type of wisdom. It only works when it's neat. And then he talks about washing yourself. You can't use it with impure motives and actions. And purify yourself. You can't use it with indecision in your soul. And then it says, yearn for it. It's worth the effort to gain it. And then he says, humble yourselves. Recognize that you are not the top dog, the center of the universe, or all that matters. And then use your mouth for good. Not slander or putting others down, which is how the advertisers do it. You use your mouth for good. This is a big price tag, but it's worth getting because it's priceless. It turns you into a great human being. So I hope you get wisdom this week. I hope you use your wisdom this week. And I have a little challenge for you. Listen to your own words this week and ask, where did that come from? You know, I learned a few things from my mum. I remember her saying, if you keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about. And that was her wisdom. And the other one she said was, if you fall and break your leg, don't come running to me. I remember that one. And if you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Well, that's proved to be true. I still haven't grown up. So listen to your own words and find out, where did that come from? Is that a godly thing? Or is that something I've just learned? And the second thing I'd like you to do is ask, what would be the wise thing to do here, now, where I am? And often the wise thing to do is to close the mouth and just let things calm before you say something in anger or bitterness. And if you do that, remember to say sorry. So that's the wisdom matters that James comes up with in his practical view of life in the pressure cooker. I hope you find it. Let's pray together, shall we?